Coolest of good days, cats and kittens, and welcome back to Discontent Provider, the podcast that turns a baleful, cataract-riddled eye upon the world once a week, takes in the unmitigated horror of it all, and does its damnedest to condense it all down to a 3.5-minute folk song. Of course, critics might very well ask, "Hey, Foxy, you can string a few words together. You clearly think you're a bit of a brain, and you've got a frightfully photogenic dog on hand. Why don't the pair of you stop faffing about in the middle of nowhere, moaning about things, and actually do something constructive?" It's a fair point, and no two ways about it, but in our defence, this is a good deal easier. Besides, were we to toss the old topper into the ring and actually sully our souls with the political caper, I couldn't rule out the possibility that at some point I might face criticism. Now, as a cove who is not exactly what you'd call a tyro when it comes to placing the juicier wares from his mind market before the public gaze, it might surprise you to learn that I'm somewhat sensitive to the judgment of others. Not often, I'll grant you. Certainly, I have a hide thick enough to cope with the barbs hurled by the sort of chill that frequent small folk clubs, and get fearfully baity if a performer chooses to address current issues rather than run through all 117 verses of some fucking dirge about a 15th century Cornish mining disaster, and complaint on Twitter that his podcast sometimes goes on a bit, are shrugged off with the haughty contempt they deserve. But when one is sufficiently enmeshed in the machinery of power that the Fourth Estate might take an interest in a decade-old Facebook post or a propensity for extravagant and abusive binge drinking, it's a different matter. Criticism, qua criticism, can often be useful. It tells one how one might improve. It makes one take a long, hard look at oneself in the mirror, which I tend to do anyway for obvious reasons, and occasionally it provides a useful alternative perspective to ideas and the odd clump of doctrinal detritus that one may be carrying about with oneself under the impression that they're self-evident truths when they are in fact no such thing. That's all to the good, of course. It's how one learns. It's how one grows. When somebody calling attention to one's fault can get one into a bit of trouble, however, it's quite another thing. I suppose if I'm to offer the sort of candour that I feel our sacred bond of podcaster and podcastee demands, that, like so many things, it dates back to childhood. I was never keen on the whole school report scene, you see. While I was never a terrible swot nor an entirely witless thug, certain areas of my scholastic career were, in retrospect, less than they might have been. And teachers being teachers, the ill-assorted collection of PTSD-addled World War II veterans and newly qualified young bloods who had enough post-60s optimistic educational theory sloshing about in them to see teaching as a genuine vocation that made up my weird boarding school staff, all felt it incumbent upon themselves to apprise my dear parents of my various shortcomings in no uncertain terms. In these circumstances, one is, as a chubby, snot-spattered adolescent, at something of a disadvantage. However justified one's position may be, any protests or explanations one might have are dismissed simply on the ground that one is just a kid, while the baying pack of pedagogues, however deranged or incompetent they might or might not be, have the credibility of being grown-ups. It's a rough spot, and no mistake. While an erring MP, for example, has the right to defend themselves at parliamentary committees or party inquiries before they have the whip removed, there is absolutely nothing to protect a nipper from a summer filled with passive-aggressive bullying from their mater because their attitude to a typing class is considered, quote, disruptive and unhelpful, unquote. Some might say that all this is merely an exercise in petty spite, and that old Foxy is merely using a microscopic digital platform to address old grudges. To them, I can only reply, A, is this the first podcast to which you have listened? And B, that's fair enough. But I make it only as an introduction to my real point, which is this. As I got older, wiser, and somehow conquered whatever weird demon it was that compelled me to cram whole pages from exercise books into my mouth and chew them loudly during lessons, I found my reports improved a little, and with the exception of a couple of irredeemable cunts who will remain nameless because sadly they're still in the land of the living, My relations with my teachers improved to the point that when it came to the references, predicted grades and whatnot necessary to applying to university, I had, on the whole, no complaints about how I was treated. At the same time, however, it did become very apparent to me that with a few words or an E entered into a little box on a form, teachers had it in their power to aid a young hopeful in their later life or utterly damn them. And this, mind you, I picked up upon in a small school for the blind, where class sizes rarely exceeded a dozen or so pupils. Consider that in the context of a real school. How well could, or still can, even the most well-intentioned teachers with no personal axe to grind know or fully understand the potential of any of the scores of developing minds under their supervision year after year? For all that, however, they still have the ability to benefit or blight a young person's life as they stand on the threshold of real life. Thus it was I found myself with some pretty mixed feelings about the recent controversy over the Ofsted single word rating system for schools. My first instinct, and I don't mind admitting it, was fuck 'em. They sit in judgment over kids every day, so it serves them right if they're told their shit. While I'm not entirely proud of that, and I certainly took no pleasure in the fact that Ruth Perry, the head teacher of a school Ofsted reviewed inadequate, killed herself, I mention it to acknowledge that I did come to this subject with a measure of regrettable bias and prejudice. Full disclosure and all that. Against that, however, I have to balance the fact that in most cases, the late Ms. Perry and the thousands of others who toil in a crumbling education system, crumbling literally in far too many cases, lest we forget, are doing their best. And while they may make mistakes, and some of them will, simply through the numbers involved, be malicious shitfuckers of the first water, everybody deserves a fair hearing and a right to reply. My gosh and giddy gumdrops, that's all little fat Foxy ever wanted, and I'm sure that many of you podcast pals will have felt the same during your school days. The sad fact is that despite the protests made by Miss Perry's family, various unions, numerous other head teachers, despite the coroner ruling that Ofsted's policy of reducing several days of inspection down to one single word for the headline contributed to Miss Perry's suicide, and the cross-party education committee recommending that the practice be scrapped, the policy of the single word review is to continue. According to the government, it offers significant benefits to parents who are looking to choose a school for their children. I rather doubt that. Ofsted reports are actually quite detailed, if one chooses to read them, with various aspects of the school being considered. So the information is there, it's been looked for, and this reductive classification is clearly not down to the inspectorate being too lazy to actually get out there, visit the schools and do the necessary work. However, when you open a report, the first thing you see is a range of words with one highlighted. But, as various educators have pointed out, the overall rating of a school can be affected by one specific failing. Thus, the good stuff going on in the classrooms and corridors is summarily dismissed. Of course, the inverse of this must be occasionally true, and a well-maintained school with decent academic results will still retain a rating of excellent or outstanding, even if the students are compelled to compete in Thunderdome-style battles to the death during afternoon break times. But none of these finer points are likely to be considered by those who will see that single highlighted word and make a decision based on that and that alone. It's shameful is what it is, and the only significant benefit it seems to offer is enabling and encouraging those who are too shit-thick and bone-idle to go to the second page of a Google search. And if you want to see where that sort of thinking leads cats and kittens, just take a gander at pretty much anything or anywhere, really. The dissolution of our weary and wicked world into willful and headline-enforced ignorance is apparent even without conscientious research or an all-night deep dive, wouldn't you say? It's odd. I've just realised that I've just spoken in defence of both teachers and paid snoops, two groups for which I've long nursed an instinctive and visceral disdain. I really wouldn't have thought I had it in me a week ago, but one learns something new every day, eh what? And sometimes it's about oneself. On that note, I rather fancy that it's high time for the song at the end, the point of which will soon become apparent. So as we wind up our music muscles and young Arkham's huge liquid eyes starts darting towards the way home, let me remind you how much we appreciate any and all likes, shares and fulsome recommendations of our tawdry brand tub of opinion and bad guitar playing. So get on it, bitches. Until the next time then, from myself, the Silver Fox, an obvious, some might even say provocatively open anti-folk freak show, and Arkham, the black and white dog, cheerio. Forgive my haste, but time is pressing. No frills, no new ones, no window dressing. It's the modern way, I wish it wasn't, but what else can we do? We'll do our best, so don't you worry, but everyone's in such a hurry. We've got to give you a single word review. As the Department of Education, you demanded an inspector and give brief summations. Now a lady's dead, so the panel grades you cunts. PM says we're on the brink of war. He's protecting the interests of his father-in-law. And a little nepotism here and there never hurts a PM. He's on a moral mission to create a big panic, making everybody paranoid, angry and manic. About immigrants, the poor and disabled, pulling the blame on them. We've reviewed your case and what really impressed us is your dedication to the cause of family investors. Now the country's screwed, so the panel rates you shit fucker. Let's take a shifty at the British people. They're not very bright, but they're far from evil. They just swallow every big juicy headline placed before their eyes. They work hard mostly for a laughable pittance. They're too tired to investigate the crap that is written by a parasitic paraflyer journalist to churn out lies. They're often well-meaning but a little too trusting. Exhaustion in the media have got their minds rusting. Now we're where we are and the panel has rated them morons. Dear God, I have never wanted to be more wrong about anything than I have right now. Help me out, cats and kittens.